So we have these themes every month or every few months. And so I'm just starting to talk every time I hear it the same way, that we have these themes. And and right now the theme is the Noble Eightfold Path. This is kind of probably going to be a longer theme because there's so much to it that we can teach about or listen to. And so I just to start, I've done that for the other talks too. I want to give the context of the Noble Eightfold Path. And it's the path that the Buddha was teaching that leads to ultimately to freedom from sufferings, freedom from difficulty or unsatisfactoriness. And the name says it has eight parts to it, eight steps, so to speak, or eight path factors, sometimes called. And these eight steps are traditionally divided into three different categories or segments. The first two steps on the path are the wisdom category, wise view and wise intention, or right view and right intention. Then the middle three steps are the ethics or virtue category. These are wise speech or right, depends on the teacher if it's wise or right. Wise speech, wise action, and wise livelihood. And then the last three steps are the cultivation or meditation category, wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. And so I don't think we've been super linear with the path so far. A little bit. I think Carolyn has taught a little bit about wise view, and then Georgia played a talk on wise intention. And I gave a talk on wise livelihood, and I also gave an overview talk. So I thought, well, since we've done the first two steps, maybe I'll go over to the third step and go back into linear mode. So wise speech is the third aspect, which is part of the ethics category. And I'll actually am planning on giving two talks on wise speech, so tonight and then next week as well. And speech is a very common way to express ourselves, of course. Chatting with friends, sending emails, being on social media, all these kind of things. And even engaging in inner dialogue, we could say, or this inner speech is part of our speech. That's kind of what I hinted at during the meditation, this inner speech that we can have that can be wholesome, unwholesome, or neutral. And so our words, whether they are really spoken out loud or written down in some way, or our thoughts or our inner speech, it's shaping our reality kind of quite a bit. And it's shaping also those, or influencing those around us as well as our own inner world. And so it's a very interesting part of the practice, this wise speech. And it might often be kind of overlooked, the significance of this wise speech or right speech. But I think it's actually a very fertile ground for practice. It's really a way to refine our ethical conduct, because the basis of wise speech is around, is it harming anyone, or is it benefiting anyone? Is it wholesome? Is it unwholesome? And so in this way, it's refining our ethical conduct. It can be cultivating wholesomeness. We can really use it to cultivate wholesomeness and to abandon unwholesomeness. You can all imagine what effect it has, the difference between saying kind words and unkind words. And so wise speech really aligns with wise view, so the first step, and wise intention, the second step on the path. because these elements are also really about fostering wholesomeness and abandoning unwholesomeness, about non-harming and about seeing wholesomeness, like seeing what is wholesome and intending towards wholesomeness, basically. And I want to explore this topic a little bit through some suttas, two suttas or discourses that the Buddha spoke. And tonight, one sutta, and then next week, the other one. And the first one I want to look at is called the Magga Vibhanga Sutta, which means analysis of the path. So all 8 steps are in this sutta, pretty briefly. But also this step on right speech, and then the Buddha tries to explain in this sutta each of those steps. And the part on the right speech is, the Buddha says, and what, practitioners, is right speech? Abstinence from false speech, abstinence from divisive speech, abstinence from harsh speech, and abstinence from idle chatter. This is called right speech. And so it's pretty practical. we just abstain from these 4 things. And then we're engaging in this right or wise speech. And so I just want to go into each of them tonight. The first being abstinence from false speech. So we could say this is about truthfulness, about not lying, about not being dishonest. Like, we might all have this experience that someone lied to us once, and it's really hard to trust them afterwards, right? It's like, so if you lie to other people, that will have the effect on them. They won't trust you as much anymore if you lie to them. So it can be really wholesome and helpful to strive for truthfulness, to abstain from this false speech, and to be a trustworthy person for other people can be really helpful and wholesome. In this way, we're also kind of safe for other people. They know they can trust us. They know that they're safe with us. But even the Buddha didn't always answer a question. Like, for example, you might wonder, like, if I'm asked a question and I don't want to reveal something about myself, then the Buddha would just stay silent, basically. So that's, that's a way to approach it, to stay silent. Or you could just respond with, I don't want to talk about this. Or, you can give some sort of response without having to always, tell the truth in that sense. So besides that, there's also another aspect of this that can be very challenging, which is these kind of small truths, or these kind of tiny little untruths that we tell ourselves, tell others. It could be, for example, telling some as simple as, oh, I'll call you later, while you're absolutely not intending to call them later. Or, oh yeah, let's have dinner together, and you're like, oh no, I never want to have dinner with this person, just this kind of little exaggeration, like, oh yeah, today I was waiting for an hour at the doctor's office, it was 20 minutes, These, we all recognize these tiny little lies that we tell, just flip out. And so if we feel like we're kind of basically a truthful person, but then this could be our kind of our edge to work on. Like, just say 20 minutes, or just don't invite them over for dinner, Just don't say it. That might be easier. And these little untruths might not harm a lot, but might not be super harmful, but it can be really interesting to, as an edge of our practice, to see this as our ethical conduct is to be fully in line with our own ethical conduct, or with our own virtuous wishes for ourselves. And so the second point the Buddha points out is to abstain from divisive speech. Well, divisive speech, of course, creates conflict and hostility and lots of unpleasantness. And so the Buddha really advises us to avoid repeating things that divide people. And in a different sutta, he talks about this a little bit more. He says that people giving up divisive speech don't repeat in one place what they heard in another, so as to divide people against each other. Instead, they reconcile those who are divided. They support unity. They delight in harmony. They love harmony. And they speak words that promote harmony. I think that's really beautiful. Like, to bring harmony instead of division. Like, if you have that lens going on in our lives, it's so different. Even if there's, like, not even an intention for divisiveness, but just kind of nothing. And then bringing in the lens of harmony, like bringing in harmony, is just, can be so helpful and beneficial for the world. I mean, it can be in all sorts of ways that we can bring harmony. Maybe it's just as simple as helping a friend with a conflict or something, or at work, colleagues who have some sort of disagreement, and you can maybe help bring back the harmony in some way by talking to them, or, you know, letting them talk to each other or whatever. So it's really, can be really interesting, this having this, putting on this lens of bringing harmony in the world through our speech and through our action for that matter as well, which is a fourth step, right? Action. And so another aspect of being not divisive can also be maybe to speak kindly. To speak in a kind way, but also to speak kindly about others. To really avoid speaking badly about other people. And this can be hard too, because there are maybe certain people you don't like, and it's really hard to not speak badly about them then. To just kind of stay silent again or something, or to even try to find something to say about them that's kind. So it's this wise speech, you think, oh yeah, whatever, it sounds good, but it's actually really challenging if we start working really with this path factor. And this divisive speech can actually be internal as well. Like, our own like inner speech around, like, oh, you can't do anything right, or you're such a clumsy person, or, you know, you're kind of dividing yourself, like, kind of, you know. It also maybe it's harsh speech, which is the next one, but it can also be kind of divisive. And so it's important to recognize these ways that we divide ourselves or others, and to, especially when we are speaking in this way to ourselves, like, to nurture ourselves and to look at the goodness we have, and to kind of try to counterbalance it maybe a little bit. Or sometimes it just helps to allow it, open to it, see it as a pattern. Like, oh, this is my old pattern, you know, to speak to myself like that. And so then abstinence from harsh speech. Oh, I think I'm missing a page. Yeah, I'm missing. Okay. Abstinence from harsh speech. In a different sutta, the Buddha describes harsh speech as the kinds of words that are cruel, nasty, hurtful, offensive, bordering on anger, not leading to immersion. Immersion being kind of concentration. And so when we speak in a harsh way, we're not only hurting this other person or group of people, we're also, it's also painful for our own hearts and minds. So really feeling that painfulness of getting angry with someone, speaking harshly, really feeling that contraction that can go with that, or other kind of feelings that we might feel can be really useful. And then in the Dhammapada is a book that is attributed by to the Buddha, which is a kind of these verses, these very short verses, that Buddha says, "Don't speak harshly. They may speak harshly back, for aggressive speech is painful, and a rod may spring back to you." So that can be an interesting practice too, because we're reflecting on, if we speak harshly, we get that back. We might be able to realize that or recognize that if we speak harshly to like a store clerk or something, they might also get upset with us, you know, and we kind of get it back right away. So, and then I'm going to look at my, because I have my computer here. And so maybe the opposite of harsh speech could be kind speech, right? And so it's really hard when the defilements are present. The defilements are three defilements: greed, aversion, and delusion. And all of the unwholesome states basically spring from those. That's kind of the short story. And when those are present, so any type of anger or resentment or aversion is present, it's really hard to speak kindly, right? It's really hard to not speak harshly. And so it's really important to watch ourselves when these states of mind are present, and to maybe not speak, maybe refrain from speaking for a while until you feel you're calmed down enough. And so then the abstinence from idle chatter. The Buddha also has a description of that in a sutta. He says, "People who engage in idle chatter, their speech is untimely and is neither factual nor beneficial. It has nothing to do with the teaching or the training. Their words have no value and are untimely, unreasonable, rambling, and pointless." So, if you're ever engaged in idle chatter, which we all are, you can maybe remember this. It's kind of like this chatter that we do, like to fill the space, or you know, to sometimes it's gossiping about other people, which can turn into divisive speech or harsh speech. And so it's really important to watch ourselves doing this. And I was thinking, like, it's really interesting because it also has a function in our society, I think, to kind of talk to people, have small talk. Yeah, like, "Oh, what's the weather like today? Oh, it's really hot, really." So just to make a connection. And so there's some use of some idle chatter, I think, in our society, at least, as lay people. But as monastics, probably, this probably was directed to monastics trying to meditate the whole day, you know, then idle chatter is probably not like the best thing to do. So we can be careful with it, though, because it can be too much, and sometimes it's really used to fill up a gap in the conversation, and then maybe, you know, maybe you can have silence. Maybe that's okay too. I also wanted to mention inner idle chatter, which there's actually a word for it in Buddhism, or in Pali. It's called sampapalapa, which I thought is such a cool word for inner idle chatter. And so it really means like what it sounds like. It's blah, blah, blah. And we all have that, right? When we sit down for meditation, the blah, blah, blah just kind of automatically starts. And so we can notice, oh, inner idle chatter, how interesting. And often we can stop ourselves mid-sentence when there's inner idle chatter. And we can just, when we notice it, it just stops. Or we can make it stop by just having that intention, like, oh, let's not engage with this right now. So, we can do that, so both internally and as well as externally, stop our idle chatter. And if you're with friends or, you know, people you know very well, you can even say, oh, wait, this is idle chatter, let me stop here. Yeah. And so we really need mindfulness for all of this. We really need to be mindful of our speech, to catch ourselves in when we engage in false speech, in divisive speech, in harsh speech, or in idle chatter. It's really important to, mindfulness is really the basis, else we won't be able to see it. And so being aware of speaking is actually quite a challenge. It's quite a practice that we need to work on, or we don't need to, but if we want to, then it's kind of a real practice in itself. And there are actually like techniques out there to help you with that, like the inside dialogue technique that Gregory Kramer developed. So if you search online for inside dialogue, you'll find it. They have these, you just basically meditate out loud with someone else, kind of this in this dyads. And there's lots of online options for it. So it's really interesting way to start practicing being mindful of speaking. And so I want to end with a quote from the Buddha, who was advising his son Rahula. And I don't remember, I think this one was when he was like 6 or 8 years old or so. Not the Buddha, but his son. And he says, and he's, this is about verbal action. And he says the same thing about... This is about verbal action. And so he says the exact same thing about bodily action and mental action as well. But this one's about verbal. Whenever you want to do a verbal action, you should reflect on it. This verbal action I want to do, would it lead to self-affliction, to the affliction of others, or both, to both? So this is whenever you want to do, whenever you're about to. And then whenever, or while you are doing the verbal action, you should reflect on it. This verbal action that I'm doing, is it leading to self-affliction, to the affliction of others, or to both? And then having done a verbal action, you should reflect on it. This verbal action I've done, did it lead to self-affliction, to the affliction of others, or to both? So it really points to how we can reflect on our action, and even if it's only afterwards, you know? Ideally, you reflect on it before, but or during, but if it's afterwards, it's fine too, because then we can still kind of have the intention to do it differently next time, if possible. So even that can be a real good lesson for us.